Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Crypto Economy Podcast. Today, I'm very excited to have Peter Watson here from Valour to tell you a little bit more about how they're bringing DeFi to Bitcoin. So thank you so much for being here, Peter.
Thanks for having me. It's been a crazy couple of weeks, to say the least. Some of the biggest rollouts you've probably seen in the space, and then, yeah, just madness, you know, like broke all sorts of records. We decide to ship everything at the same time, you know, just chaos. So we've finally calmed down. We finally relaxed slightly. And then here we are on this podcast. So yeah, all good fun. Thanks for having me.
There we go. Well, I'm excited to take our listeners through that journey a little bit. So I guess maybe just to start them off, if you could tell them a little bit about how you first got interested in Bitcoin and then how that led to Stax and ultimately Valour, I think that would be great.
Yeah, awesome. So I've been an entrepreneur business guy since the age of 16. So I started my very first business at 16. It was the world's largest car audio how-to guides on YouTube. Like if you type in like any sort of mainstream car with audio after it, one of my videos will probably come up. So I built that to a reasonable size. We're getting about, I think it was like 20,000 views a day or something. And then I launched a shop. We started selling car parts. And then like my career just kind of went like through these multiple different small businesses, and every single business I created kind of got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I kept investing and kept investing. And then when I was in university, I launched an advertising agency, which just kind of went out of control. Like we were at maybe 7 or 8 staff within 6 months whilst at university. And then rather than buying all the fancy stuff, we just kind of took the money and we saved it aside, and we then invested it in other businesses and other businesses. And then around about 2017, I think it was, I met a guy called Dan at a random networking event. And I'd seen Bitcoin like on the news or whatever. And I just said, is this Bitcoin thing like real? Like, is this Bitcoin thing like actually a thing? And he was like, yeah, like I've been in it since 2012, 2013. Like it's, you should do it. Like you should go all in. And I was like, cool. And we'd saved a lot of money up from our investments, and we never really took big salaries. So we started buying Bitcoin in 2017. And then we did the whole, you know, shitcoin cycle in 2017, 2018, where we like looked at things like XRP and Nano and like stuff like this. But then at the end, I learned that cycle that everything falls back to Bitcoin, like everything. So through the whole kind of bear market, we were building businesses, and we've always built businesses. Like we've got a group now. I own things like a hair loss drug. I have conveyancing brands. I have a mortgage company. You know, we have online SaaS products. We are a thoroughbred entrepreneurs business group. And every single time we got any sort of extra cash flows, we just dump it into Bitcoin. And that we did that from like 2017 all the way through to 2022, maybe 2023. And then didn't really look around. I went to Bitcoin Miami in 2022. And accidentally signed up to the Stax event. I think it was called Stax Unleashed or something. And I just like thought it was called Bitcoin Unleashed. And I thought it was a Bitcoin event. So I turned up and I saw all of these guys being like, yeah, we can build on Bitcoin. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, yeah, we can build on Bitcoin. I was like, and I am not a tech guy, right? I'm marketing and branding. That's kind of my forte. And I had like the most knowledgeable conversations with people that I knew nothing about, but the way in which they were talking to me was like welcoming. Like it was one of the nicest communities I've ever seen, where you would have someone who is the equivalent of a CTO explaining to some normie off the street like what they're building, how they do it, and why it should be interesting to you. So from that point, I then started buying Stax. I was like, look, the community is great, building on Bitcoin fits my narrative. Like I believe everything falls back to Bitcoin. Obviously I was stung in shitcoinery in 2017 2018, so I didn't want to go back down that route, but I thought building on Bitcoin makes sense. So I started buying Stax as well as Bitcoin. And then I got really involved with the community on Twitter, like got to know a lot of the guys and girls there, met a lot of the OGs, got into NFTs, then got into ordinals, kept just stacking Bitcoin and Stax, nothing else. Only two things I ever stacked like from now on. And then I moved to Dubai. So in the UK, I'm from the UK originally, they increased corporation tax from 19% to 25%. And I'd always had like a running joke with my friends that if tax ever goes up one more time, I leave. Went from 19% to 25%. 2 weeks later, I leave. Wow. And I just got the next flight to Dubai. And my business partner came with me. And I sent a tweet, like a random tweet, like saying, I'm now in Dubai. Anyone from Stax here, like hit me up, you know? Mithil, who's CEO of Valour, was like, yo, bro, like come through. So we he was the first person I met in Dubai. We had like dinner. He told me that he's planning on building this really cool project called Vela, and that it was going to, you know, reinvent the whole Bitcoin landscape over the next decade. And I just said to him, like, take some of my money. Like, I was like, whatever the check is, take some. Because you get like when you meet people for the first time, you get like a really good sense of A, like, I'm very like, I believe in aura and I believe in like the universe, right? And those sort of like gooky stuff. So I was like, this guy's got great aura. I believe what he's saying. It makes sense to me. Like, it doesn't even matter on the valuation. Just take some of my money. So obviously I got to know Mithil over a period of time. And then I was the fourth investor in Vela, like personally. Then my business partner got invested. Then a few of my friends in the UK invested. We all kind of got in. And then I just said to him, if you ever need anything in the future, let me know. Like, I've got an advertising agency. Like, I've been doing brand and marketing for ages. Any advice, just let me know. And we just became really good friends. Like, the relationship from like a business perspective didn't go any further. Then we got to, I think we just raised 3.5 million. It was in February. And he calls me up and he says, Pete, we're all here smoking cigars, celebrating the raise, ready to go again. And I can't think of anyone else that needs to be here but you. You know, like, you were here from the start. Like, you know, we had this vision. Like, you believed in me from day one. I was like, yeah, man, fine. He said, I've also got some ideas that might work. And I was like, sure. So we met the next day. And he says, bro, I want to bring you on a CMO. Like, you know your stuff. You understand the space. You've got a great track record. And I said, brother, like, I'm like MD of like a group of companies in the UK. Like, I can't just quit my day job. Like, you know, like, people rely on me. And he said, have a think about it. Here's the offer. And then I spoke to my business partner and I was like, bro, like, you know, these moments that are just like, everything's perfect. You're like, this is the opportunity, like, not just like of a lifetime, but like for generations. You know, what these boys are building is insane. So I completely formatted my company structure in the UK, like brought in a few people to take some slack, and then took the leap within like a week with Vela and was just like, fine, Vela is my number one priority right now. We have people to run our companies in the UK. We will sell a few companies here and there. And since, yeah, February, I think it's the 6th or the 2nd or something of 2024, I've been all in on Vela, and it's been the most crazy ride, like, from top to bottom.
Wow, that's a great story. And I respect that you actually took that leap when the taxes went up. I get to let you tell how many times I've told myself the same thing. So I think next time they raise the taxes here, I might join you in Dubai and just pull the trigger, because it seems like it worked out well for you. So, but I think, you know, I really like what you said just about the universe. And just sometimes you just know, you meet people, you can just kind of tell they're good people, they're trustworthy. And like, I felt the same thing when I joined the Stacks community. Everyone was so welcoming, and like, it seemed like a place where you can really just be a part of the community, have your voice heard, a lot of smart people who aren't starting a lot of like dumb drama for the most part. And that's what I really liked about it. So I can understand why it attracted you. So I guess if you could just take like a few like small steps back and maybe just explain to the audience a little bit about what Stacks is, why, you know, you were initially attracted to the network, and maybe how it compares to some other things that might be out there.
Yeah, so obviously I was heavily involved in 2017, 2018 in like, what's going to be the next Bitcoin was like the narrative. Like, oh, I think it was like faster transactions was like this thing. It's like, everyone's like, faster blocks, bigger blocks, faster transactions. So, mm-hmm. You know, Nano was like this random crypto that would like land in a second and there'd be no fees. So everybody was like running to these new things. There was XRP was popping off, and then there was it was like Bitcoin Cash was around there as well. So all these conversations about speed and stuff was happening. And there was winners and there was losers. But in the end, it was very obvious who won, and that was Bitcoiners, right? Bitcoiners won that race. So I almost like etched into my brain that like, whenever this happens again, like, we do not get drawn into this, right? In the end, Bitcoin wins. So I stacked nothing but Bitcoin. And then I started going, okay, Bitcoin's great, but like, Ethereum does have a place. Like, I want to be able to build stuff. I want to be able to do stuff. Like, there's things that we need to be building now within blockchain. And then obviously I came across Stacks, and I was like, wait, I can code on top of Bitcoin, right? I can build things on top of Bitcoin. I can build everything that's on Ethereum on top of Bitcoin. And then as soon as you started kind of etching this into your brain, which is everything that has worked on Ethereum now is possible on Bitcoin, like, done for me, done. Like, nothing else, no other questions required, no other answers required. Everything that has worked in every other blockchain in the world can now be built on Bitcoin. The winner's there, like, set. So we already know from historically speaking that in the end, Bitcoin wins, right? And I can already predict for you now, in the future, Bitcoin wins. So if we are all in agreement that Bitcoin wins, the only logical next step is, what do we build on top of Bitcoin? So, you know, as soon as I decided this, I was like, Stacks is it for me. And I remember buying it at, the pits of the bear market. I think it was like 32 cents. I was in a hotel in London and it hit 32 cents. And I, you know, you're like, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
you're sat there and you're going, maybe I'm wrong. And I'm like, I can't be wrong. Like this just makes sense to me. And I decided then and there that I was going to go just keep buying Stacks. And a lot of my friends like now are all into Stacks, because once you explain it to them that it's everything on Bitcoin, it makes a lot of sense. So, you know, Mithil, when I met Mithil in Dubai, like, and he said to me that he, you know, wants to build everything that's ever been built that's been successful on Bitcoin. It made sense to me straight away. And I think Mithil, and he might say no on this, but I think Mithil actually started the movement towards what we now call the Bitcoin DeFi. And it was not really even discussed before, like as in like a whole narrative. And I think the narrative is truly coming. Like I don't think it's actually here yet. I think it's coming. And we obviously are heavily involved with builders within Bitcoin now. And the number of other Bitcoin L2s that are getting built is phenomenal. Like we're not just sitting now looking at, oh, here's Stacks. Stacks has first mover advantage. Stacks is the furthest one along. Stacks obviously has the biggest market cap. But there are like, there's a website, I can't remember what it's called, where there's like literally 50 Bitcoin L2s currently getting built. But the most important thing that nobody thinks beyond that is, okay, cool, you've built a Bitcoin L2. You can now build on top of Bitcoin. What are you going to build? Right? And this is where I think everyone's just got so confused. Like everyone's trying to run to be the Bitcoin L2, but no one's thought about the Bitcoin L3. Mm-hmm. No one's thought about the thing you're actually going to do on it. And, yep. and Velar's whole aim should be built on Bitcoin. Like, it's not like maybe, oh, we can use this for Solana. We can use this for... No. Everything that has ever worked should be built on Bitcoin. And that's our game plan. So we've launched the AMM. We've launched farming. You know, we're launching staking. We've launched all this sort of stuff. Next, we're launching the world's first perp dex on Bitcoin. But that's like, you know, 7.3% of what the plan is. You know, like we've broken our roadmap into four key elements, and Perpdex mainnet will be element two. Like four is insane. You know, and like I sit here and you're gonna understand. Everyone listening needs to understand this. I invested. You know, I was the fourth investor, whatever. I then quit everything. Like and like, you know, I'm not like Richard Branson level, but I'm pretty successful in my own right. So if you Google like what I quit everything for this. That's how bullish I am on the whole narrative. That's how bullish I am on the team. And, you know, like, I just don't think there's a limit here. Like the team is so good. Like I look at the CTO's team, the CPO's team, and like, they move so fast, even when things are like up against them, you know, like our launch. We had the most successful IEO in the history of Bybit. The history of Bybit. Like, this is like unparalleled, right? Bybit, second biggest exchange in the world, the most successful launch ever. We had 48,000% oversubscribed on our IDO with Gate, right? Whatever. We are the first Bitcoin ecosystem project to be listed on a tier one exchange. Like, these things, like, and I'm still like, you guys aren't bullish enough, right? And I sit here, I'm just like, I'm just sometimes looking at the chart and I'm like, people actually are selling at this, like in my head, I'm like, what are you doing? Because I know the full vision. I know the full roadmap, like, and I know the team are just absolute killers. So yeah, I don't know how we got to that point, but yeah.
No, I mean, that was a great way, just sort of roundabout. And I think the tough part now is like everyone is trying to just kind of like copy paste what has worked on other chains. And there's a lot to do there because a lot has worked. But there's also the piece of like, how do we take it even the next step further, which I think you guys seem to be wanting to do. And like a lot of other companies, they seem to not be interested in that. They just want to copy what's worked already. And it usually works okay, but it's not quite as exciting. But like, the use cases are real. There's so many real world applications for this technology. Like my last company, which we're like in the process of selling, it was a high risk payments company, primarily for cannabis, but adult entertainment and all these companies that just can't use normal banking and processing. And like, they were super open to using Bitcoin, but they just needed like a Bitcoin stable that they could swap into, and they couldn't use Coinbase Commerce because they were like a regulated industry, and they wanted to stick all their money into an account and earn yield on it because they're sitting on $1 million a day that they could be earning yield on in Bitcoin and, you know, swapping into a stable to have enough to pay out their employees. But even a year ago when we were building it out, this technology was just not mature enough to support any of this stuff. But now it already seems to be. And I think companies like you are really like pushing the envelope, forcing people to, you know, create the infrastructure that's going to decentralize a lot of this stuff and allow it to be decentralized on like what is the deepest liquidity by far. When we'd approach cannabis dispensaries and we'd say, do you want to accept Ethereum or Solana? They'd be like, yeah. And like, we'd be like, you want some shitcoins on Solana or shitcoins on Ethereum? And they're like, yeah, no, that sounds like a nightmare. We're already running like a super risky business. The last thing we need is to add this like extra layer of uncertainty on top of it. But Bitcoin, they were pretty open to. They were like, you know, Bitcoin, we're pretty comfortable with. And it's typically, you know, the type of people that run these things or go to them tend to like Bitcoin. So I think there are a lot of opportunities that we can take this technology to industries and especially geographic locations like places like Nigeria, where like currency is weaker. It tends to do a lot better because it just makes more sense. The infrastructure isn't there and it can be supported.
Yeah, I've got a friend based in Dubai. He's just actually moved back to Nigeria and he owns some manufacturing business for oil or something like, mm-hmm. you know, like olive oil or something. And he has a whole team dedicated to currency fluctuation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because like, so think about our hard businesses in general, just in general. Then you go import export business even harder. Then you go, he's selling into supermarkets. So even harder because they're squeezing you all the time. And then you go and your currency is collapsing.
Like, yeah.
Like what? Like, it's insane. Like it's truly insane. Like, so, you know, like when it comes to people in the West, I don't think really understand the level of which currency collapsing is like, it's not a problem, not so much a problem for people in the West. Although
they might understand it soon. Yeah.
Yeah. If you understand it and you do know it's a problem. But like in terms of like daily activity, you know, like walking to the supermarket and oh, tomorrow it's 10% higher because it just is 10% higher. And they've got to like write the price of things up in marker pen because it's changing so often, right? This is like real things that happen in parts of the world. And you speak to someone from like the UK or America, like who isn't like wired to this way of thinking, and they just would not even believe that's that possible. Like they wouldn't even understand it. So I say this to my friends a lot. I'm like they think I'm some sort of like, you know, anarchist, like that thinks the world's gonna fall apart. I'm like, boys, like, I'm like, no, this is seriously gonna be a problem. Like, please, like,
yeah,
get involved. I remember when Bitcoin was 69K, I was still buying, you know, as in like last cycle.
Yeah.
You know, I was still buying it, 24K, and you know, I just keep buying. And I remember this time around, it was like, I don't know, like 24K going up or something. And I said, right, lads, listen to me this time, just this time, please. Like, this is the third time round, right? Yep. I know you've heard me say it three times over now, but just this time, listen to me. They didn't. I don't know, man. No. I don't know. I can't explain.
Every time,
it
like
anymore.
One, you get like one that comes over, and then you know, I've had. Bro, that's what I. Yeah, that's happened to me.
I've decided. I made this like reasoning. I knew that it was obviously. You all know it's going to go up. It's going to go up forever. Bitcoin. We all knew this. I decided this cycle, I never post about Bitcoin. I'm not going to post about it on any of my social media. The only time I'm going to post about it is at 100K. We'll post about it.
There you go.
Just like, you fucked it, man. You've been following me for 7 years, 8 years on social, and you literally are still not listening. Man, you can lose. You can buy it at 100K. You can buy it at 100K.
But, you know, I did have those one or two guys that I told them they put their entire net worth in and they made millions. And those guys retired, left their shitty jobs. And you're like, you know what? You earned it, man. So sometimes it works. It's worth it sometimes. Hoping some people who listen to this podcast for the last 8 years listened and a few of them picked some up. I think they did.
But the thing that we actually need in the space, and the reason I guess I came to Velar in the first place, is we need visionaries and leaders. Because like we can all have these conversations, but if someone isn't making the podcast or someone isn't building the thing, like nothing gets done, you know. And it's one of those things where it's such a Bitcoin is so community driven, right? And everyone's just got to step up and take their bit of the momentum forward. But this is why I decided to go with the boys, because Mithil is such a thought leader. Like he was talking about Bitcoin DeFi before Bitcoin DeFi was even a thing. You know, he I don't know if you know this. If you go to his Twitter from maybe 2 years ago, he fully planned out the stacks price reactions. He went from it hitting 30 cents for it to 50, it's going to $15 to $20. He wrote this whole thing, this whole thesis about why it's going to happen, what's going to change in the market, Bitcoin DeFi is going to happen. Like, he literally has written this. This is like 2 years ago, right? So like this, like when you see these people, like you just grab them with two hands, right? And I do what I can do to help him communicate that with his audience and help the brand communicate and us to go in the right direction. And sometimes he'll be doing stuff and I'll be like, don't do that. And sometimes he'll tell me not to do that, you know? But as a whole, you need to have these people that are driving things forward. And I just honestly look at the Bitcoin ecosystem right now and I don't want to insult anyone at all. I don't think there's a better visionary leader in the Bitcoin space than Mythil right now. I genuinely don't think there is. And that's from me, who speaks to him every single day. Like, sometimes I'll just be like, just talk, you know, like, and once I had a conversation with him, I was like, bro, that could have been a talk on stage, genuinely, like, you know? So, like, when you find these people, you've just got to double down. That's what I've learned in life, is when you find great people, you double down. And I've doubled down, and this is where I've doubled it down. So,
no, I think that's smart. And you're right. There really have just not been that many good leaders in the space. I think so many of these guys end up just hustling their audiences, screwing people over. They end up being full of shit, not as smart as you thought they were, kind of built up by the PR agency, whatever it is. And people, you know, Satoshi was smart in that respect. Just don't even give them a person to attack at some level.
It was easy to go and create a random shitcoin and make millions of dollars. Very, very easy from 2017, you know, ICO season, et cetera. Very, very easy. So why wouldn't you go and create a shitcoin, right? The problem is eventually you get found out.
Yeah.
But with Bitcoin, you're found out from day one. Like, you know, like, it's not like eventually. It's like when we launched Token, we drove so much traffic to, I don't think people realize the level of traffic that we drove to Stacks. Like, I don't think people genuinely realize. Something like 100,000 hits we had on day one, or something. Like something insane. Like it's like six figure number. I don't think people really realize the volume of that. So then I was like, oh, why is your system down? I'm like, do you understand what's that? Like, Stacks has like, we brought on more users than they have had active users or something. Like, it's something ridiculous, you know? Like, why is it slow? I'm like, come on, guys. Like, we've just like moved the steps like six times ahead. Like, please. Yeah. And, the thing that I thought, so we had a really great launch. We think it was a really great launch. I think there's things we could have improved in terms of communication, etc. But we think we had a really great launch. The problem is that people need to understand when you're building and you're building the first of things and you're building and you're moving so fast, things are just going to break. Like, things are just sometimes going to break, and that's absolutely okay. Like, we wrote a letter to our community before we launched, and we said we're going to be pushing forward so fast over the next 3 weeks that some things will work and some things won't work. But understand that we're writing the playbook for people to roll these things out themselves. So when things started, we rolling things out, we just quote tweeted it. Like we told them it was going to happen. Like, you think we're going to build the world's first perplex on Bitcoin and it's going to be smooth sailing? Like, you think this is going to happen? It's the world's first. So, but I was slightly disappointed with some parts of the community. He turned on us super quick, man. I don't know if you saw it. Like, they turned on us super quick. And I felt like being like, I've been in this community for 4 years. Like, Mythil's been in it probably for longer, and you give us 6 hours. Like, come on, man. Yep. Like, wow. We gave $3.5 million to the community. Come on.
Yeah, it's tough. You're never going to make everyone happy. There's always going to be some criticism, I feel like. But I will say, in a lot of communities, you know, there would have been 1,000 people like that, you know, on Solana, on Ethereum, you might have had way more of that.
Do you know what, though, man? Like, the community also came out in support. You know, like, we had some killers that were like, no, these boys are real, like, trust us. And that's the thing. That was why it was super important for us to all dox. This is like a really early thing. It was like, we would all dox. We were all, like, you can see my track record. You can see Mythil's track record. You can see, you know, TJ's, whatever's track record. You can see all the work. Because it matters. It matters when things are difficult or when things are happening fast. Like, you need to be like, okay, cool. I trust these guys. Like, I did a jokey tweet, but it's kind of half serious. Like, when I was in the UK for 3 years, I had a full-time cameraman film my whole entrepreneurial journey.
Wow.
It's not a joke.
That's crazy.
And I knew that I'd get meme to fuck when I did this job, so I hid them all. Right? but like,
oh, I gotta put them out. Gotta put them out.
But if anyone's like, this guy's not real, I'm just gonna release like episode 62, you know, of like me probably with bags under my eyes running through London, you know, like I'm happy to do it. If they're gonna say it's all AI by then,
you gotta put it out quick.
this guy's a fraud, he's not real. I'm like, mate, I don't wanna go to London. If I'm in London, you know, it's real.
Yeah. But I think the move to more docs founders is really important. I think a lot of, like, I was playing around with ordinals in the early days, and I just kept getting rugged by these undocs teams who were just putting out crap and they never intended to ship, and they would just dump their tokens on everyone. And I think that's been a big problem, and adding legitimacy to the space without the legitimate, like, previously, the problem was all the legitimate players were backed by VCs who just wanted to like dump their tokens on retail. And so like you didn't have, you either the guy was going to screw you and he was going to make the money, or he's going to screw you and the VCs were going to make the money. And so there was just no good option. I think people need to see that now it's getting mature enough where legitimate builders are coming. They're raising legitimate capital from people who understand the market and who actually want to improve the market. People are investing from a sense of, you know, actual like passion and belief in the long-term vision, which I think you have a lot more investors on the Bitcoin network who are willing to believe in that than, you know, Ethereum and Solana. So
and the other thing we did, which I don't think was spoken about enough, was we also did our IDO round at the exact same price as our investor round. So like,
that's really cool.
Yeah, like that doesn't get, that just makes it very clear. This does not get done. What normally happens in a round is you have round one, round two, then you had a influencer round, which is, so each round gets higher, and then you have the IDO, which is like the highest. Mm-hmm. We did our IDO round at 30 million FDV, which is the same round that people, that investors were investing in.
Yeah, so, that's awesome.
So like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I willingly sit on these things and I say like, we're community first, because like, we easily could have done that at 60 to 70 million, easily. Like 100 million probably would have still filled it, easily.
Yeah.
And anyone who got in the IDO has just 10x their money.
Yeah.
Like on
day
one.
They're mad because everyone wanted to do that. That's probably the problem. Yeah, is probably. The people who didn't get in, are those are the ones who were probably angry at you in reality.
Yeah, literally. But like, you know, like that was like, what more do you want me to say?
Yeah. No, and I mean, as someone who's done startups for a long time, like that is super fair. That valuation is super fair. Like, you know, I think you can only do so much, I think, is the thing. And you're trying to do so much that, you know, you're not going to make everyone happy all the time. But, you know, you just got to keep building and keep trying to put out cool stuff. That's all you can do. So I guess in that respect, how have you approached being sort of, you know, second to market? Alex has been out. I had them on my podcast a year ago. So they've been working. So how hard was it to catch up to where they're at and then also, you know, learn from them and then decide how you were going to compete, essentially?
We made a very distinct rule when we started this that we were never going to compete with people within the same space. Like we have zero, like, want to like move bits around on like a board, you know, like we're not here to be like, oh, you've got 10 million, we want 10 million of yours, and then everyone's got zero. Mm-hmm. Like the only way that everybody wins is if the pie gets bigger, right? And we are, if we really believe in the Stacks ecosystem, this is all we're ever going to have, and we're just moving pieces around on a whiteboard, then we should all just sell our tokens and just quit, because that is literally not the aim of this. We have like $1.3 trillion or something stupid right now, like that is currently within the space that needs to be utilized. So we have no aim to like fight with anybody or cause. We have great relationships with all the projects within the Stacks ecosystem, like literally every single one. So yeah, we like, I see Alex as like friends, you know, like they're building their project, we build our projects, like we see some things they do, they see some things we do. But the AMM for us wasn't really it's not our main project. Like, it's literally not our main project. It was, we built the AMM ages ago. Like, we actually built the AMM, like, I don't know, like 6 months ago, maybe longer. We had it on the testnet, like, a year ago. Mm-hmm. So we've been, like, so, like, that's been ready to go. We just have optimized that now and learned from it. And then we've built all the things on top of it. And we've decided to launch it all at the same time, ready for our big project, which is the Perp Dex. PerpDex is the world's first. Like, there is nothing like it on the Bitcoin space right now. And I'm completely obsessed with the idea of doing it. I'm completely obsessed of being the first person to make these innovations. And then I'll be honest with you, like 4 to 6 weeks later after we've launched it, we'll be like, right, next thing.
Yep.
I don't think people realize like how, like, so I've never worked with such a global team before in my life, right? So we have people from all over the world, people from the UK, people from India, people from Central Europe, like literally every single nation you can probably think of, we probably have someone there, like America. And when you literally can just pick and choose the best people in the world, no questions asked, like we just want the best, don't care where you're from, don't care your background, care nothing, just want the best. Killers.
It's man. Awesome. Yeah.
Killers. Like, you know, and I we were all, you know, for like launch, 2 weeks of launch, we were all in the same place, obviously. And I'd walk into like TJ, who's the CPO's like room, and like you'd see the stress on his face. Like, this guy is working like, you know, 4 days straight, you know, like making sure things ship properly. But then you see his team and you see how people are also working on it all over the world, all with one aim in mind, which is to ship the best product we can do. We aren't worried about competitors. Like, we're just not. Like, it's just not what we're about. We're about building the Bitcoin ecosystem and pushing it as far forward as possible. And Mithil always says, I want to bring 1 million people to Bitcoin DeFi. That's his aim. 1 million individuals. And I think we'll do it. I just think we will. Genuinely.
I think it's a matter of time. And I think, you know, these things are cycles. People are playing on Base, playing on Solana right now. And soon they're going to learn about stacks. And once that happens, you know, the infrastructure just has to be there so they don't have a terrible experience when they get there. And if they have a good experience, then I think they're going to stick around. And I think you guys are going to be a large part of that, frankly, especially leverage perps.
There's a lot of things within the ecosystem that just doesn't work as it should. And when people come across from other chains to stacks from the Bitcoin chain, like, they're a bit like, what is this? Like, I was speaking to someone the other day who wanted to use a bridge to get something from something else. I think they're sending like USDC or something. I don't know what they're doing. They're doing some sort of bridge. And they were like, why is it taking so long? Like, and I was like, it wasn't one of our projects, right? It was someone else's project. Yeah. Like, why is it taking so long? And I was like, bruh, we're like, this is how it works right now. Like, we're hoping it improves. Yeah. but you're literally in the entry levels of building on top of Bitcoin, right? This isn't like Ethereum. This isn't like Polygon. Like, we are literally in the embers of building the whole system out. So yeah, you have to wait a few hours. Sorry, mate. You
know, I know. Every time I'm like, I said something and they're like, it's not here yet. I'm like, no, it shouldn't be there yet. That's not how it works. Like, so you just got to train people.
Yeah, like we had our head of content, George, who came in. He's an awesome guy from the UK as well. And he went to buy some stacks. Like, obviously, of course he's working for a Bitcoin project. He's like, I sent some stacks to my friend and it's still not there. And I was like, how long has it been? He's like, it's been 45 minutes. I'm like, bro, like, it just happens sometimes.
Yep.
And I'm like, shoot, I'm like, Nakamoto.
Yeah.
But it's funny, so, when people come across, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's worth noting that even given that that's how it's working right now, there's still a lot of people using it. There's still a lot of community. Like, it's still growing. And so the fact that people are willing to swing trade with our transactions and still, like, be playing around, I think says a lot, frankly. But if you could maybe tell the audience a little bit as well about Nakamoto and just why you think that'll be important.
Yeah, so at the moment within the Stacks ecosystem, it takes around 20 minutes a block or something, I think, on average. Like, it's a slow block time. So if you're trying to use the AMM, for example, like the equivalent of Uniswap, which is what Vela's AMM is, then yeah, you go to buy some and then it can take 20 minutes to go through. And in that period of time, the price could have changed 12% because of other people's transactions. And then your transaction will fail. And we actually saw a lot of that with when Velar's token first launched, was because there were so many buyers and sellers. We had so much volume that people were selling their airdrop, say. But then the transaction wouldn't go through because too many people were selling their airdrop, which pulled the price down too low, and then it would fail on slippage. So because the block times take so long, it basically means everything is like always like an up in the air. Like, you know, you're like, maybe put higher slippage, like, because everyone's used to like Solana, like meme coins or whatever, or where, you know, you do your trade and it's done within seconds. You know, that's what it's about. So the Nakamoto update is an update by the Stacks ecosystem, which focuses on bringing the block time down to 5 seconds. And when you bring block times down to 5 seconds, like instantly it opens up a whole new world of things, of which perp trading is one of them. And this is where it gets really exciting, because if you can have block times in 5 seconds, the ability to be able to do pretty much anything on Bitcoin is done. Because it'll be faster than Ethereum, you know, like it just will.
Yeah.
so everything that has been built on Ethereum can then be built on Bitcoin. And that's what Velar is about. Velar is about building everything that has worked on Ethereum straight across to Bitcoin and then some. And we call Ethereum internally as the testnet.
Yeah. I love it.
Ethereum's a testnet, Bitcoin's a mainnet. Yeah. What are we going to bring from testnet? What's worked from the testnet? But these are the conversations we have.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the great thing about Nakamoto. It's going to be the first thing that's going to bring Bitcoin block times under 5 seconds.
There you go. So how have, as a company, have you sort of like planned around like a big launch like that? Has it been difficult, you know, trying to time things with them? And, you know, do you work more like really directly with Stacks, or you just kind of like do your thing and we'll adapt around it whenever it's ready?
Yeah, so our CTO has been like, you know, heavily linked with Stacks and making sure that everything's working. We've been, you know, ever since the Nakamoto testnet came out, we've been obviously using it and plugging things in and stuff. So the moment that the mainnet is live, we can pretty much deploy the perp deck straight away. That's the game plan.
Got it.
But they're always into conversations. They're always finding things, helping each other out. You know, it's a team sport. You know, with Stacks, there are not huge amount of builders, right? So everyone who is building is aligned and having conversations. And I've seen everyone from even different projects are all talking. You know, like, I'm in group chats with pretty much every single founder within the Stacks ecosystem, and everybody's saying, have you seen this? Are you doing this? What about this? Have you thought of this? Can you help us out with this? Like, the Stacks community is super tight, right? It's super tight because we know we are up against the biggest brands in the world on the other side of the fence dealing in shitcoin land, you know? So we have to really be like working together to make sure the infrastructure works and make sure that everyone wins. Because and this is where people get confused. If someone like Alex, for example, wins, we also win. Mm-hmm. You know, if Stack and DAO win, we also win. Like, you know, two things. A, because it gets people to our ecosystem and we all then sweep up and everyone does really well. But B, like, I'm a Stacks bag holder, like, as well. You know, like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, make this really clear that, you know, so I want the Stacks ecosystem to win. Like, you know, that just A, from a financial perspective, but B, because it's also my passion project in Velar. So, you know, we're open communication with everybody all the time, making sure everything's working and kind of pushing the message kind of wider forward.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed that. Like, all the founders and Stacks are super close, tightly integrated, talking to each other, and I think that's super powerful. And that's how you create, you know, great things without, you know, really cutting each other down or, you know, stepping on each other's throats, which I think is great. I think one question I have is, how much you guys think about the ordinals and the runes ecosystems and if there's any crossover there? Because I do feel like those two communities, Stacks and then the ordinals runes, are like a little more bifurcated. There's starting to become a lot of crossover. And I know Alex in the early days tried to do sort of like a BRC20 DEX that really no one used. There's like one trade on it a day. So I'm wondering if you guys kind of took some lessons from that, or you've thought about that a little bit and just sort of how we might be able to pull all of these Bitcoin infrastructure projects together, or if they should just kind of live on their own.
So we have so many things we want to roll out that our priority list is like, is pages long. We also have strategies that myself and the wider team have come up with, which is like, okay, cool. These are nice to haves. These are things that's going to actually drive adoption. Because there's two things you've got to focus on here, right? It's, we want people to use our perp decks, obviously. This is our main product. But what we also need for that to happen is we need people to come to the ecosystem, right? So, Yep. So you know, maybe people will come because of the perp decks, because it'll be the world's first perp decks in Bitcoin, and that'll be really great. But how else can we drag people to the ecosystem kicking and screaming? Like, because they want to use it, because they want to be doing stuff on Bitcoin. And I think that's where the most fun is going to be, for me anyway, as like a Bitcoiner. It's like, what can we learn from other ecosystems and how we can deploy that within the Velar ecosystem that drives people to the space? And I spoke to the CPO about some ideas I have and what's possible and what's not possible and timelines and stuff. And I think that's where the most fun will be. And I wouldn't even call these, like, these aren't even like big rollout. Like, as in, like, people need to understand when Velar says this is rollout number two, as in the Perplex mainnet is rollout number two, and rollout number three, like when we mention a number like that, it's a big deal, right? These things that we are also going to be putting in within the space aren't even going to be rollouts. These are going to be like product enhancements, right? So like when I talk about V3 and V4, and V4 blows my mind, like these little things that we're doing, like are just like, yeah, of course the community needs this, we'll build it. You know, like, yep. So I don't know, man. I'm so bullish.
You're getting me pretty bullish. I'm so, super excited. I think you guys are doing really cool stuff.
I think we were at like 18 cents or something. I can't remember what it was. And I wrote a note in my phone, like a paragraph. And I did a tweet that said, just wrote a note in my phone. We'll share it one day. I can't wait to share the note. Because like it was like in front of my eyes, I was like, "What is going on?" People have no idea.
I don't have any idea. So I'm really excited
for world first perp decks on Bitcoin.
Well, that I have the idea. I'm waiting for V4. I want to see what V4 is now. You've got my curiosity.
V3 is something as well.
The
thing is that when you understand, it's like. It's not down to, so everyone within the Bitcoin space can have an opinion, right? I have an opinion, you'll have an opinion, everyone has an opinion. But by myself, my ability to drive that forward to make an impact, it's very hard. Like, you know, most people have day jobs. You know, there's some great people within the space who are putting everything they can into this, right? But when you find individuals and teams that are like, we want to break down boundaries and really push Bitcoin forward and by itself stacks, everybody should be trying to jump on that train and supporting it. Like Mythal, his vision is really to bring 1 million people to the ecosystem. And I think he'll do it. I genuinely think we will do it together. And I genuinely get shivers thinking about the opportunity that is right in front of us right now. And when we look at timelines, we are not looking at cycle timelines. We're not looking at, oh, what we're going to do this year. And we honestly are like 10, 20 year cycle. Like we're looking at 10, 20 years in the future. Like what does Bitcoin need in 12 years time? And what can we do today to build that, to make it work? And when you've got people that are already planning, I mean, I don't plan that far. Like for me, it's like, right, cool. We got Perplex mainnet. Here's the plan of the Perplex. Like, you know, that's my task. But Mythal, because of the team he's got around, he's got me and in marketing, he's got TJ in product, whatever. He can think 4 years in the future, you know, like, and I said to him, like, I want you, like when I first came in, I was like, get out my marketing team. Like, you know, mm-hmm. Like, get out. I need you thinking about the future. I need you thinking about being visionary. I need you thinking what we need to be doing in 2 years' time. He's like, yeah, I was going to do both. I'm like, no, get out my marketing team. So when you've got people that are thinking that far ahead, you know, they are going to drive the narrative. They are going to push things further forward. And that's why it's super exciting for me, because I've got like a little slightly closer look to it, you know? Like slightly close look into his brain and seeing what he's planning. But it's really exciting. It's without a doubt the most exciting thing I've worked on in my whole entire life.
Wow.
Without That's a awesome. Doubt. It's fascinating.
That's how you know you're in the right place. And I think you guys are in the right place. I think Velar coming into Stacks, for me, honestly, got me really excited. I saw the vision right away. I could tell you guys were bringing stuff to market that was going to get people excited, move them over from other chains, give them what they're used to, you know, experiencing on Ethereum and Solana. And I think that's exactly what the industry needs. And I have no idea what V3 and V4 are, but I'm super excited to see what those are. So I think we'll try and have you back once you guys roll some of that out, and you can tell our audience a little bit about that. But until then, maybe if you could just tell everyone a little bit about where to learn more about you, what to check out, how you recommend getting involved with the Stacks ecosystem, that'd be great.
Yeah, so the best place is obviously X or Twitter, whatever it's called one of these days, but it's Velar BTC. That's where all of our announcements go out. We've got a really energetic Telegram community as well, so people can go on there, but you can find all the links on our website. But I would always say, like, follow us on Twitter. We aren't one of those brands that are going to spam. Like, we don't spread. When we post. So maybe a notification bell wouldn't be a bad thing around this period of time, just because, you know, the announcements we're putting out are going to be pretty exciting. You know, we're also doing our Perplex testnet will be out really soon, and we will be doing an incentivized testnet, which is going to be huge for the community. I mean, we gave out $3.5 million in Velar tokens to the last testnet. So like, and this one is you know, is sizable too. So we just want to bring as many people across as possible and obviously support people who are supporting us. So if anyone can get involved with that, that'd be awesome. But my DMs are fully open. So like my key thing right now is making sure that we're giving the Stacked community and like the environment the biggest amount of airtime they can have. So we're in a really fortunate position where we're on Bybit. You know, we are on the second biggest exchange in the world that's getting eyeballs. We are listed under Bitcoin ecosystem on Bybit. You know, like these are big things to have. So people are coming to our platform, they're seeing it. We can see that in the numbers on our analytics platform. We can see the volume coming through, so they're checking us out. So the most important thing for me is making sure that we have projects within the space on our platform, whether that be a launch pad if someone wants to launch a new project, or whether that be a token that someone wants to launch. We are trying to get towards the decentralized landscape where anyone can do anything. But at the moment, everything's super new and Stacks is sometimes challenging in how to build. So we're going to have to roll things out in some cases manually. But if everyone has anything cool they're working on, like message me. So VisionsBTC on X, and we can set up a conversation to kind of get things over the line. But, you know, it's a super exciting time for us. Like we've got the PerpDex mainnet coming out, a testnet coming out real soon. We've just launched the AMM and everything's kind of calmed down now, like all systems are go. It's just exciting, really, really exciting. We've got Token 2049 happening in Dubai as well next week. And we've got an event there as well. So yeah, just lots of things going on, like really, really exciting time.
Awesome. Well, I certainly can't wait to follow along. I encourage you guys to check out Velar, follow him on Twitter. He's great to sort of read his tweets. He's got it going on. And just try to meet some people in Stacks. I'd encourage the audience to just get to know the community. Everyone's really welcoming, really nice. Join some Telegrams, join some Discords. And we'll get Peter back soon to tell us about all their progress. So thanks so much for coming on, Peter. I really appreciate
it. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
And thank you guys for listening. We'll be back soon with another episode.